Good morning, everybody. Namod Bisman. Hoschim B'chor Achsanya, first and foremost, thank you to Rav Tarrigan, to Yeshiva HaKotel, for creating this this very special opportunity to get together like this on Leil Hoshana Rabbah. If not for this opportunity, for this learning, probably be, half asleep in the sukkah, trying to do something meaningful. So thank you for enabling all of us to have the opportunity to learn together in Yerushalayim. Kvod Achsanya in Yerushalayim is also David HaMelech. Tonight is Ushpiza, the David HaMelech. It's Motzei Shabbos. Motzei Shabbos is the time. This is the Suda of David HaMelech, of Mlava Malka. We're also in Paltim and Shamelech. We're literally in David HaMelech's place. So Bershus, Daniel, and Bershus, David HaMelech. Morev Rabosai. There's a minig on Motzei Shabbos to tell stories of tzaddikim. It's almost as if that minig that the Baal Shem Tov instituted was to help us remember how big we were on Shabbos. You know, on Shabbos there's a time of expanded consciousness. On Shabbos we could sense a little bit of the best of who we are, the best of what we can be. That's before you have little kids. But for most of you in the room, Shabbos is that time you could sit and learn, whatever. You know, but really Shabbos gives us a little bit of a sense of our greatest selves. So Motzei Shabbos we kind of recount stories of tzaddikim, a way to kind of tap into that and remind ourselves of what we can be, what we can aspire toward. There was a great tzaddikus named Rebbetzin from Rachel. From Rachel was the wife of Reb David from Kaminka, based in the Morda Asra of Kaminka, who was a descendant, Ben Achar Ben, of David HaMelech. He had a yuchsin that went all the way back to David HaMelech, Reb David from Kaminka. He was the great-grandfather of one of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, Rav Shmuel Kaminka. So usually when people tell stories about the Heilig Kaminka, they're telling stories about the student of the Baal Shem Tov. This is about his great-great-great-grandmother. Rebbetzin from Rachel was a woman whose entire life was lived with the value that David HaMelech describes, V'ani kirvas Elokim litov. Her whole thing in the world, all she wanted all day and night, was Kirvas Hashem. She was a davener. All the time davening. All the time to Tehillim. All the time talking to Hashem. And there was an amazing segula that kind of emanated from Rebbetzin Kaminka. You know, in those days, childbirth is always a miracle. But in the days before we had, you know, medical advancements, when there was like a real primitive understanding of hygiene, so it was not so simple to bring a child into the world. And we know already from Tanakh that throughout history it was not uncommon for women to not survive childbirth, Rahman al-Islam. So this Rebbetzin Kaminka was they kind of noticed that, you know, when there was a woman in labor, if there was a tzara, if there was an ace tzara, if it was challenging, if things weren't going well, if the woman was in terrible pain or suffering in some way, or there's some type of medical danger, Rebbetzin from Rachel would kind of come by, and just her being around, like the baby would be born and things would work out. She was a segula. She tried in every which way to kind of hide that from people, that people shouldn't realize, you know, the power of her tefillos or her presence. But word got out, and people would start from all the shtetlach around the Ukraine, they would come like try to find her. And if somebody was having a child, or knew that they were having a child, they'd invite them, or try to like get them there. She was always happy to go, and would never take money, and didn't want any notoriety from it. And it was at a certain point that Kaminka, Reb David from Kaminka, and his Rebbetzin moved to Eretz Yisrael, also very uncommon. In those generations, they're talking like 280 years ago. They came to Eretz Yisrael, and they came to Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, and also hid themselves, that people shouldn't know too much, you know, about their notoriety. They lived in absolute poverty. in the old Yishuv, in a small apartment. And she would make her rounds davening all day. And if she heard that there was a yoledet, there was someone who was giving birth, she would kind of go find her way there and pass by the house, knock on the door, ask for directions, ask if, you know, she could have a drink, an elderly woman. And as soon as she would appear, like that, there would be this incredible nace, and a healthy child would be born, and the mother would be healthy. That was the segula of the Rebbetzin. Those days, the Ottoman Empire ruled Eretz Yisrael, and there was the main ruler of Yerushalayim was a Turkish pasha. His only daughter, his beloved daughter, was in the midst of a terrible labor, and her life was at risk. And all the doctors and experts and leaders of Yerushalayim came to try to like help her and give her potions and medicines, and nothing worked. But there's a Jewish advisor to the pasha who whispered in his ear that there's a holy woman, that there's a sainted woman who lives in town in the Rebbetzin of Kaminka, and they should try to get her to come, because if she comes, things will work out. She was like a, you know, an omen, a talisman, a segula for a healthy labor. The pasha said, whatever it takes, I don't care how much it costs, get her here. They went to go summon her, and you know, she said, what can I do? I'm just an old lady who came from Ukraine. What am I supposed to do? They said, come, the pasha's daughter. She said, okay, I'll come anywhere. I'm happy to meet anybody. And literally, as she walked in the door, screaming from pain, stopped on a dime. And within moments, a healthy child was born, and the daughter of the Turkish pasha, the ruler of Jerusalem, was totally healthy. Everything was great. This pasha fell on his knees in front of the Rebbetzin and said, what can I give you? Take half of my kingdom. Whatever money you need, you live in squalor, we'll build you a mansion. You and your children's children will never want for anything. All the money in the world. And she said, what do I want? I just want to be, I'm a person, I just want to daven. I just want to pray. He said, you could pray wherever you want, whenever you want. Now, in those days, it was Islamic rule. And there were certain places that Jews weren't allowed to go. Ma'aras HaMachpelah, the Tomb of the Matriarchs, where our Babis and Zaydis are, and Hebron was one of those places. It was off limits for Jews. The Wak, for whatever they were called, wouldn't allow Jews in. Rebbetzin Kaminka looked at the Turkish Pasha and said, I would love the opportunity to pray at the gravesites of my grandparents. So he said, sure, whatever you want, then no problem, anything. The day came that she was going to cash in her favor. And like, you know, the metzias, the political reality kind of became a little bit more clear that it wasn't so simple. That they're going to in a place where these vicious Muslims. It wasn't so simple. So she went herself. They kind of brought her in. She was accompanied by someone from, you know, the Pasha's court. And they went to the person who was the head of the religious committee over there that was guarding the Ma'aras Machpelah, and arranged it that she should be able to go into the Ma'aras Machpelah. Now, all the doctors and medical experts and knockers of Yerushalayim were enraged with jealousy. They did everything they could to save and to deliver this child to help their Pasha. In the end, some old Jewish lady comes, shows up, and steals their thunder, makes a miracle, and gets all the credit. So they hatched the whole plan and paid off the guy who ran the Ma'aras Machpelah. They paid off the guard. They bribed him, or they threatened him. They said, the Pasha said that she can go down to Ma'aras Machpelah, she's allowed in. But they never said anything about her coming out. So when the Rebbetzin Kaminka opened the gigantic door like a vault, to go down into Ma'aras Machpelah, not on top the way we go today. Not on top of where we go today into Ulam Yitzchak and Ulam Yaakov, built on top. It's like it's way on top of the Ma'aras Machpelah is literally inside of a cave inside of a cave. Machpelah from a double language is a cave inside of a cave. The Sdea Machpelah, really down, down, down. Under the ground. Double concealment. When they opened up that gigantic metal door for her to go in, to go descend the steps down to Ma'aras Machpelah, down inside to the kfar, down to the cave, the burial caves, where Avram and Sarah are, Yitzchak and Rivka, v'chule, she got down the steps, and they closed the door behind her. she wasn't paying attention. She was just going down to daven. There's no airflow. And it's underground mamash, in a vault. And Rebbetzin Kaminka is down davening. She's davening B'Shem Kol Yisrael. And she's saying Tehillim. Perek after perek after perek of Tehillim. Her husband is Ben Acher Ben from David HaMelech, or David Kaminka. Her children are grandchildren of David HaMelech. She's davening away in Ma'aras Machpelah in the city, which was David's city. Before David HaMelech was in Yerushalayim, David HaMelech was in Hebron 7 years. That's where the capital of the Jewish people was, the headquarters. She's davening and davening and davening B'Shem Kol Yisrael. And you know, at a certain point, there's no air. She couldn't breathe. She finished saying Sefer Tehillim and she began to make her way back up the steps. And she got to the top, in the pitch black, the door was clocked. She couldn't. She's banging on the door, crying out, calling out, and Kol Va'eino Neh, you couldn't hear anything. She's trying to push the door, and it's a mile wide, there's no way. But she understood like what their plan was, that she would die in there, she would suffocate in there, without any air, and then they'd schlep her out and tell the Pasha, I don't know what happened, whatever. She goes back down the steps, Meles Pereira, she said, if I'm going to die here, I might as well go down to Kivrei Avos. She goes back down to the steps, right by the Avos and Imahos, and she just cries out, Ana Rachim Hatzel Hoshia, Ana Hashem Hoshia, Ana, just save me! Save me! And literally, with her last breath, as she's about to faint, literally with no air to breathe, completely exhausted and spent, she sees a bright light. And an older man, with a saintly face, wearing some type of a crown, she described, looked at her and said, Rebbetzin Kaminka, come with me. And she said, who are you? Where are we going? And he said, you don't recognize me? And he handed her a small sefer in her hand that said, hold on to this and follow me. She said that she completely blacked out. And when she opened her eyes, gasping for air, she was sitting on her front doorstep in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh. And in her hand was a small sefer Tehillim. David HaMelech came to schlep her out. Now Rav Shlomo said he heard this story in Babov. And that the Bab of Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Halberstam, Zechus Yergen Aleinu, said that by the Divrei Chaim of Tzanz, there was someone there who was a great-grandson of Shmuel Kaminka, who was a great-grandson of Rav David Kaminka, and Rebbetzin from Rachel, who had that little Sefer Tehillim. There's a beautiful Gemara in the Yerushalmi that describes the phenomenon of what tonight is all about. Quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, extolling the virtue and praising Klal Yisrael. V'osi yom yom yidrushun. Klal Yisrael seek me out day after day. Yom yom yidrushun. V'das deracha yechefatzun. And they want to know my ways. Like a nation that runs after righteousness, that doesn't forsake me. Yisha'aluni mishpatei tzedek, kirvas elokim yachafatzun. Yeshayahu was praising Klal Yisrael, saying, kirvas elokim yachafatzun. All they want is to be close to Hashem. Says the Gemara, yom yom yidrashun, day after day they're yearning after me, they're doresh, they're calling after me, is a remez, an allusion to 2 days on the Jewish calendar, Rosh Hashanah and Hoshana Rabbah. Days of Kirvas Elokim Yechafatzu. This is a Hemshech of Rosh Hashanah. Really, as far as I'm talking about, how this is the completion of a cycle of days that began with Rosh Chodesh El. But Rosh Hashanah is that day of Tefillah, where we turn to Hashem and call Him HaMelech. We recognize that this Melech is also our parent, also our lover. And Yom Yom Yidrashun, the continuation of that Jerisha for Hashem, of closest Hashem, comes to its fulfillment, to its completion, tonight on Hoshana Rabbah, leading into Simchas Torah. To tap into that Eitz Ratzon, to this expression of Jerisha, just consider all the different things that we were doing and using during these days of Sukkot, during Zman Simcha Seinu, whether it's sitting in the Sukkah, or taking the Arba Minim, all of that kind of comes to a culmination tomorrow. Tomorrow we're leaving the Sukkah. Tomorrow we're putting down our Lulav, our Esrog, our Hadassim. And at the end, we're just holding on to our Hoshanos. Everybody knows, and I'm sure we've said this 100 times over Sukkot, how each of these Arba Minim correspond to and relate to a different element, a different part of the body. The Lulav is the Amar HaShidra, the spine. The Esrog corresponds to the heart. Hadassim are shaped like our eyes, are fixing our eyes. And the Aravos correspond to and are shaped like the lips. Rabbi Nachman explains, and I want to learn this Torah inside a little. Rabbeinu explains that the casting away, so to speak, or the moving away from, he literally calls it turning away from the Lulav, Esrog, Hadassim, we're done with them now. Moving away from them and embracing our Aravos, and then getting into the whole work of Hoshana Rabbah, which is focused around the Aravos, is the completion of, or the continuation of, Bigmam L'cha Hashem and Rosh Hashanah. So I want to learn this Torah inside. It's a little bit of a complicated Torah. It's a little bit contrived, if I could say such a thing. It's one of the few Torahs in the Likutei Maran that Reb Nosson didn't give over himself. Usually, Likutei Maran, it's exactly, Reb Nosson gave it over exactly the way Rabbeinu said it. But over here, the introduction to this Torah in Likutei Maran, Reb Nosson says, he heard mitocha chaverim. He heard it from the friends. So, there's a certain way of like learning together with friends, which is what's happening here tonight, but it's different than hearing it straight from Rabbi Nachman. It's a Torah that deals with Refuas HaNefesh, Torah Ayin Dalad, and it deals with Hamtakas Adinim. It deals with the fulfillment of prayer that begins with being Mamal Hashem and Rosh Hashanah. The difference between Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, of Mochin the Godless, of expanded consciousness, and Mochin the Katnus, constricted consciousness. For us, the part that's in Yoni Dioma is the second paragraph down. If you have it inside, Osios Machkimos. It's worthwhile to look inside. The second paragraph. Again, we're in the world of Hoshana Rabbah. We're in the headquarters of Tefillah Yerushalayim, which is called Tel Piyot, Tal Piyot. All the Tefillos and all the Dibur of the entire world is coming from this place to this place. Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. The headquarters, the center of Dibur in the entire world of expression is here. Motzei Shabbos Hoshana Rabbah, the night where we're preparing ourselves to get rid of, to let go of all the levushim of the Esrog and the Sukkah and just connect ourselves to the work of the Arava, which corresponds to the lips. There's no more special time for us to kind of begin to prepare ourselves to relate to and to maximize the faculty of speech of Dibur. Rabbeinu says there are two ways of Dibur. There are two movements in speech. Ki yesh Dibur below Deya, the second paragraph. There's a speech that is expressed without Deya. Deya means wisdom, a way of understanding which connects us to something. There's speech that is disconnected without wisdom. V'yesh Dibur B'deya. And there's a Dibur, there's speech, which has within it some type of wisdom that connects us. Da'as is not just knowledge that's mufshat, that's disconnected. Knowledge is an idea, something theoretical. Chachma, Bina are different levels of understanding. Das, it's not the English words of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge are not, they're not really relevant. Das is a way of knowing something, of understanding something, of having wisdom where it's integrated, where it's connected. Adam knew his wife in the biblical sense. It connotes intimacy, connection, becoming whole and connected with another entity. So Menachem says there's dibur, there's a way of speaking without deya, without wisdom, without really its fulfillment. It's incomplete. V'yesh dibur b'deya. And then there's a way of speaking that has deya, that's connected. U'shnei b'chinos elu, these two elements, in b'chinos Hashana Rabba, v'simchas Torah. Shein b'chinos Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Hoshana Rabba is the expression or the manifestation of dibur below deya, speaking that's incomplete without wisdom, whereas Simchas Torah represents dibur, speech, v'deya, that is whole, that is wise, that's integrated, that's complete. And that corresponds to the traits of Yitzchak and Yaakov. Again, it's a very long and contrived Torah. It's a complicated Torah that relates to ultimately Refuas HaNefesh. But we're just going to, for tonight, for the time that we have together, to learn this specific piece. Ki Hoshana Rabba b'chinas dibur below deya, shu b'chinas arava. This relates to the element or the quality of the arava, the willow branch, which represents dibur below deya. Ki arava doma l'sfasayim. Like we said, the arava relates to the lips. It looks like the lips, and it corresponds to and expresses that faculty of speech. As the Zohar HaKadosh says three lines down in that second paragraph, Isman delai ba'oraisa u'megam gimba b'gimguma delo yada. When someone is delai, works in, is amel, in Torah, ba'oraisa, in Torah, u'megam game, and stutters, and struggles to express the fullness of that idea in a clear, concise, direct way, b'gimguma delo yada. I don't quite understand. It doesn't. I'm not talking about a speech impediment. The gimguma means that I just don't have the idea clear. It's not crystal clear. I can't say over the sugya. I heard it in shir. It was a great shir. Wow, great shir. What did he say? Whatever. There's like tzvaydinim, like a whole thing. It's not so poshut, you know. You have to be holding. It's a lot of background. Like when you can't say it over, you can't get their class. That's called gimguma. That means that you worked in the Torah, you sat there. You worked on the Makoros, or you listened to the shir, and you followed along, and you tried. And you looked up this in the dictionary, and you asked the Sholem Aish of that, and you sat with the Chavrus, and you took a look at the art scroll, and looked at the Rav Steinsaltz, and you looked at the Masifta. And you tried. And you sat and shir and paid attention, and even tried to write notes, and write it off the blackboard, and even ask the Rebbe a question afterwards, and he answered, and you're like, oh, okay, yeah, okay, good. And you walk through, and you're like, I don't know what he's talking about. B'gimguma delo yada. So that person called Mila, Umila, Salkala Eila. Every single one of those uttered kind of not clear words of not being able to really give over that Torah, Salkala Eila. It ascends. It goes up. It goes up. V'kutshabrichu chadeh b'hai mila. And Hashem is chadeh, takes pride and joy. Chedva means the celebration, the simcha, there's joy from those words of unclear, not completely understood, half-functional Torah that you can't say. I certainly can't say it as a pshat all over in somebody's sukkah. Somebody says, hey, what are you learning in yeshiva? Bava Metzia. Oh, yeah, what can you say from Bava Metzia? Well, you know, a lot to say. What's sugya in? And you start to get nervous. And you try to say it over, or something that you heard, or Ramban, or something from a chug, or from a chabura, or you heard something, you try to tell over the story, like Weinberger said, and the only thing that's exactly on point is when you do in the middle, and otherwise it's like they're like looking at you like, it was an amazing story, it's amazing, amazing. Okay, so tell it to me. Well, I can't really give it over yet. That goes up. That ascends. Hashem has nachas from that. V'natala scharanin dahu nachala. And those words, that Torah, goes up to some place up there, some parallel universe, some parallel part of the universe in the upper worlds. And those words, that incomplete understanding, or that incomplete expression of that Torah, is planted around a nachal, around the brook. In Zohar, this is a reference to the world of Bina, to the sphere of Bina. This incomplete Torah is planted on the river Bina, on the banks of the river Bina. This Avidu Me'enun Milan Ilan Ravravin. And from these words that are planted along the brook of Bina, sprout forth huge willows, Ilanin, Ravravin, like willow branches. V'ikrun Arve Nachal. And these are called Arve Nachal. The physical parallel and mirror of this in our physical world were those willow branches that grew by Nachal David HaMelech in Motza, where David HaMelech went to Mikveh. And many of us might have gone to Mikveh, some of us on the side of the road, back before that was inappropriate to do in yeshiva with guys. And there was these gigantic willows that grew that were 15 feet or 15 amas high that were schlepped to the Beis HaMikdash as part of the ceremony and part of the avoda of this week of Hoshanas. The mirror, the supernal mirror of that, are our incomplete Torah understanding and thoughts and efforts that ascend on high and are planted along the river Bina. They're called Arve Nachal. Nimtza, Rabbeinu says, Nimtza she'arve nachal hem b'chinas dibur belodeya. These Arve Nachal, these massive willows that are planted in the upper worlds, are an expression of dibur, of speech that lacks wisdom. No taste, no fragrance, lacking tam. Corresponding to that metaphor, unlike the esrog, unlike the hadassim, unlike the lulav that have no tam, no fragrance, no mitzvos, no Torah. Incomplete, lacking. Yet on high are planted and decomposed and bring about these willows. V'zeo b'chinas Hoshana Rabbah, the great Hoshana. Shubchinas Din, Shubchinas Pachar Yitzchak. This is the world of Yitzchak Avinu. Dinim. Everyone knows, we say good kvittel, because everything that took place during Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Seres Meitzuv, Yom Kippur, there was some type of bureaucracy in the upper world. There's some pakach, there's some, you know, sloth sitting there at the front desk of the Beis Din Shalmala. That's taking a long time in the heavenly DMV to stamp the papers to give us whatever our Gzar Din is. So we have, it's not like it didn't get done Yom Kippur. So it got schlepped out. Chagim, Acharei Chagim. So Acharei Chagim means Hoshana Rabbah. We come back again and then you get the answer. But the Chassidim, they're really taking a long time. Because, you know, they add Vayatzmach Perkane, and they have coffee in the middle of davening, and they go to Mikveh. So then the Chassidim is by Chanukah. Because real bureaucracy takes a real long time. But we're Belachat. So Hoshana Rabbah, there's a time of pressure. Because there's a time of judgment. The Shlich Tzibur puts on a kittel. There's a lot of davening and crying out and shofar blowing. There's all night learning because it's a serious night, because it's a time of din. That relates to the trait of Yitzchak Avinu. What do we know about Yitzchak Avinu? He's a man of very few words. There's not much that Yitzchak says in Torah. He stays in a very limited sphere of influence and doesn't say very much. That is the trait of Dibur Belodeya. This is drawn from a place of mochen dekatnos, of constricted awareness. Valkain, hadibur belodas adayim. When we're in dread, when a person's in fear of judgment, when we're not comfortable, we feel like there's someone looking over our shoulder, writing down notes about our behavior, or watching us, judging our every mood, that's called mochen dekatnos. You don't have much to say. You don't want to say anything because I don't want to mess anything up. That's Hoshana Rabbah, which is the world of Dibur below Deya. However, Aval Simchas Torah, which comes after Hoshana Rabbah, Hu Bechinas Dibur B'Deya. It's the completion of speech. Hu HaChiyus Shel HaNefesh. It's the complete expression of a soul that's alive. There's life force that comes to its completion in Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is the continuation of Hoshana Rabbah and the release of speech from the place of constriction. As the Zohar says, Kedisa b'Zohar, Zakayin inun didayin orchoy daraisa, fortunate, Zakayin, fortunate are those who walk on the pathways of Torah, umishtadli ba ba'orach mishor, and are endeavor to walk on the straight and narrow path of Torah, who walk upright in Torah, diinun natayin ilana dechai la'ela chola asvasa, who plant a tree of life on high, not just incomplete will, incomplete thoughts and ideas, not fully understanding Torah, not fully realized shifos, that get planted on the river Bina, that bring about willows that lack fragrance, that lack taste. But fortunate is the one who walks on the upright path of Torah, who achieves kula da'akula asvasa, complete healing of the soul. A tree that's planted on high. And that relates to Yaakov Avinu, Shebichnas Chachma, Bichnas Mochin the Godless, Yaakveni, Pa'amayim, the Targum says, is Chakmeni. Yaakov Avinu relates to Dibur Bedeya. Yaakov was able to navigate all sorts of complicated situations. Yaakov was able to talk himself out of everything. Yaakov was a person who was called Ishtam Yoshev Olim, relates to the Midah of completion of Torah. Now, these 2 days, Hoshana Rabbah and Simchas Torah, represent a movement, a process. It's really the process that we go through whenever we're trying to draw close to Hashem, whenever we're trying to, like, so to speak, get into davening, or avoda, to like work at something, or to learn something, open up an idea, open up a sefer, open up a gemara, it doesn't have to be kinin, open up any gemara, or any sefer nach, or any sefer machshava, and musar, chassidus, whatever it may be. Before learning that idea, before reading that idea, every one of us is in the state of Dibur below Deya. We don't know the idea yet. I don't have it. I haven't mastered it. That's the way it's built. Ibn Ezra on the Parshas Tzav, Dibur below Deya. I mean, give me a chance. Let me sit on it. Let me sit with a chavrusa. Let me listen to a shir. Tosfos, Rashi, and Chumash. A Jew comes to open up a sefer, opens up any idea in Torah. We're all approaching that idea at the outset in a way of, like, we say it, we'll talk it through, maybe we'll ask Hashem for help with it, maybe we'll ask our chavrusa, maybe we'll listen to the shir, whatever it may be, but we don't have it yet. We're still in the world of Hoshana Rabbah, of constricted consciousness, mochin bekatnus. Right? We haven't fully tapped into its expanse. Even if you understand the pasuk, you learn it with Rashi, you still haven't learned the Ramban. Even if you learn the Rashi, we haven't opened up all the super commentaries on Rashi. Even if I've learned the Ramban, Ibn Ezra, there's still a world of Rishonim and Achronim, Bali Musar, Bali Machshava, of Chassidus, of Kabbalah, of Parshanut. A Jew is in a constant state of oscillating between the state of Dibur below Deya and entering into the world of Dibur Bedeya, of Hoshana Rabbah to Simchas Torah, of working toward getting a fuller picture. But the irony is, the way that Torah is built is that it's infinite. We never fully get there. Hoshana Rabbah is an opportunity for us to kind of relate to our experience in Yiddishkeit and Torah and learning in the state of not having full comprehension. I mean, we so often focus on mastery and accomplishment. We celebrate the siyum. We celebrate when we understand. Then I have a geshmak and learn it because I understood it. I finished Nayim Mikra this week. Now I feel good. What about the week that, like, I started and I didn't get there? What about the week that I wanted to start it? I wanted to and it just didn't happen. Or the time that I opened up, I went to afternoon seder and it just, like, I was tired and I didn't understand and I didn't follow and I left in the middle and, like, didn't come back. What about that Torah? What about that part of Yiddishkeit? There's an entire experience of our Yiddishkeit as a Jew that like is Hoshana Rabbadik. That's in a place of no tam and no reach. That lacks completion. That lacks deya, integration, wholeness, completion. Shana Rabbah specifically precedes Simchas Torah for that reason. Know that they will never, we will never experience that asvasa, that soul healing, that chiyus hanefesh that Rav Nachman explains from the Zohar, or that simcha of Torah, unless we go through the world of Hoshana Rabbah first. Unless we believe in the planting of those incomplete seeds of potential, those kernels of frustration, those kernels of gimgum on the riverbanks of Bina, on the upper world, that bring out these Hoshanas, these Aravos, we're never going to be able to get to the planting of trees that bear beautiful fruit and shade. Without Hoshana Rabbah, there is no Simchas Torah. Yachmir Shechter, Shlita, explains that this is like the whole Seder HaTefillah of Hoshana Rabbah. You ever do Hoshana, the guys, Hoshana Bet, guys, you've done Hoshana Rabbah before, so I can ask you. You know what the Seder Hoshana Rabbah is, yeah? It's just like, we the same thing as Simchas Torah, we go around, we do HaKafos, we go around seven times, we do HaKafos, and throughout the time, trying to prevent the hand cramp, it's a rookie mistake going for the Yahalo Mesrog that's wide. You gotta go tall and thin. Now who doesn't want to be tall and thin? You gotta go tall, it's otherwise hand cramp city. It's a disaster. Total disaster. Part of what we're doing is when we're trying to like turn the pages and like stick with it, is Hoshana something, I don't know, Hoshana something else, Hoshana something else, Hoshana another place, Hoshana another, some other obscure reference, Hoshana, you saw today the Hoshanas? Hoshana, Tuchal is Hoshana. Hoshana, don't go out of Tchum Shabbos, Hoshana. Hoshana, Shabbos clothing, Hoshana. No, Shabbos songs, Hoshana, Shabbos seventh day, Hoshana. You know, there's no time to like reflect on it. There's no time to like explore it. There's no footnotes on it. There's no pshat in it. It's just saying some idea, some place, some notion, something. That's an illusion. That's terse. Without explanation. Because Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter says, that's what Rabbi Nachman's Kavana is, that's Dibur Belodeya. It's forcing us through the liturgy, through the text, to be in a place of knowing, yes, there's tefillah that is just like, just Rosh Tevas. There's a way of tefillah that's Hoshana Rabbadik, that's just kind of like going in circles, trying not to like poke the guy next to you, and like just saying things and throwing them out, and then like trying to catch up the chazan and then saying it again. And there's a way that's Hoshana Rabbadik in Torah, where it's incomplete and not fully understood. And there's a way of Hoshana Rabbah in our life throughout the year, where it's just sometimes incomplete and frustrating and gimgum and not fully understood and not fully actualized. Va'ani kirvas elokim litov. That's what David HaMelech said. Va'ani kirvas elokim litov. David HaMelech is laying out a path for us, the path of Hoshana Rabbah, Ushpiza the David, where it's okay to like be wherever we are and embrace whatever situation, whatever way that Hashem is expecting us to be close to Him, whether it's running away or it's in the palace, whether it's from a place of poverty or from a place of great wealth, of great strength, or it's from a place of embarrassment, of mistake. David HaMelech just says like it's not about those external realities, the Esrog moments, where there's Tam and Reach, like a tzaddik, or the moments where we could stand up straight and tall like a lulav, or those moments where our eyes are looking at things the way that we want to in a holy way. The entire life of David HaMelech, as expressed in Sefer Tehillim, is a world of ups and downs, of turmoil, of chaos, of running, of coming, of going. Va'ani kirvas Elokim litov. Hoshana Rabbah, Simchas Torah. Va'ani tefillah. To attach ourselves to David HaMelech, to be influenced by the world of David HaMelech, which we're all sitting in David HaMelech's dining room here, his guests tonight. We think that he's our guest, but really David HaMelech's guest. To attach ourselves to the world of Avodah, of David HaMelech, means to understand that there's such a thing as being a Hoshana Rabbah Jew throughout the year. There are moments that are Hoshana Rabbah, that you come into the middle of davening, and they're already halfway through Pesukei Dezimra, and you're like, ah! By the time you get your tefillin on, it's already Baruch Hu. What do I do? I had in mind, I wanted to like daven Erlich today. I wanted to start from the beginning. I wanted to go. I had like good intentions. Now what do I do? All right, I'll do the Baruch Shamar Ashrei Yishtabach thing like in 7th grade and then, you know, hop right into it here and I'll catch them for Shemana Esrei and then the rest of it, you don't really, you know, It's like when we realize, oh, I missed Aliyah Leviyav, and I got to do a Tashlumin. And we're just like, oh, Tashlumin. The whole thing is for fall, and you throw the thing out, and you just forget it. And you bang out a 45-second Tashlumin. Or you realize it's after Shkia, and you can't daven Mincha, forget it. So you daven at Marv, and you feel like a big loser at Marv. How geshmak is that Marv, knowing that you missed Mincha? Because you feel like, what good is my Dibur if there's not Deya in it? What good is this Torah or this tefillah, if I'm not going to be able to do it all the way, if it's not going to come to completion, if it's not integrated, if I'm not going to have a tree that's sprouting fruit and shade, an Ilana Dechaya that's going to be a soul healing. There's no Simchas Torah without Hoshana Rabbah. Sometimes there's a Derech and Avoda, and it's a very high way of removing the Esrog, of putting aside the Esrog, and the Lulav, and the Hadassim, and just spending time with the Aravos. Just being mechabed the Aravos. What do we have when we have nothing? What do I have when I don't have my tefillin? What do I have when I don't have svarim with me? What do I have when I can't understand shir? I'm not in it. I have my lips. I could speak. I could talk to Hashem. What do I do if I miss shachris? What do I do if there's no mincha minyan? What do I do if I'm not in a place from Arav? What do I do when there's just an Arava? David HaMelech said, Vani kirvas Elokim itov. Just kirvas Elokim. Of course Shachris for the Minyan. Of course Mincha for the Minyan. Of course Marav for the Minyan. And of course, sometimes for whatever reason, we forget benching. And the 72 minutes pass. And we remember and we realize. And we have like that feeling of like, ugh. We could still say to Hashem, thank you though for a wonderful lunch. I'm sorry that I missed, I'm sorry that I dropped the ball on this one. We could still speak. We still have our lips. It might feel like at that moment there's no tam, there's no reach. But at that moment we could still talk. Without pshetlach and without fancy vorts and without a liturgy that's designed for us. We said it here last year, we could still daven from David HaMelech Siddur. We could still experience the situation that we're in and just talk to Hashem in that place. Aniva ho, Hoshiana. It's just us. And that's what's happening tomorrow in Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana, Laman, Chalim, Hoshana, Hoshana, Laman, Hoshana, 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 Hoshana. I mean, at a certain point, that's what's going to happen. Not for you. I know that's what's going to be. I'm going to be there, I don't know, like, what? Try to, like, forget about it. The Rina Israel has the charts in it. Shabbos is the most complicated. You know, now I just use, I just, whatever they're up to, I just go. I plow through it. Sometimes I find myself like, I don't know, I'm like halfway around and I get balachats. I didn't do the full hakafa. And they're already done and they're up to the next hakafa. That's it. That's Hoshana Rabbah. And it's just again, Hoshana, 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 Hoshana. Because after all the liturgy, and after all of the beautiful tefillahs of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, and after all the beautiful Torahs and all the beautiful things that we want to say, and that we ought to say, and that we think we should say, and that we want to understand, in the end of the day, sometimes the door is slammed behind us, we're underground, in a cave within a cave, with no air, suffocating, choking, and all I can say is, Hoshana, Hoshana, Hoshana. Ana, Rachem, Hatzel, Hoshir, just something, help me. It's a day of just bottom line communication, of breaking things down to their lowest common denominator, so to speak. If I don't understand it, and I'm not feeling it, but I'm still here, Hashem, and I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up on our relationship, and I'm going to continue to daven, and I'm going to continue to turn to you and speak with you, even if I don't feel it, and even if I don't fully understand it, I'm going to continue learning. You know, people like to joke about, make fun in Breslov. It's one of the things they make fun of in Breslov. Is these people learning chok Yisrael, zugging, just kind of zugging, saying, reading Shemos HaTzadikim and reading pages of Shulchan Aruch. What are they doing? What's the point in learning Teire if you're not going to understand Teire in all of its depth? It's very good. It's also very good to understand Torah in all its depth. And it's also very good to also not understand, but to still learn. It's also okay to keep trying. It's also okay to appreciate Amelus. And it's also okay sometimes to play out of our league in learning. Sometimes there's Svarim that like we hear that we see people learning them, different people's makomos in the Beis Medrash, say, like, well, okay, that's not for me. That's not my place. That, to me, that's Simchas Torah and Aman Hoshana Rabbah. That's a place of Dibur with Day, and I'm in a place of Dibur with that Day. Okay. Or we could say, Yala, let's go. Let me try. And to learn Gemara and to listen to a shir. I listen to Rav Ari Yelibut's shirim. I listen to Rabbi Ravzner's shirim. And Kodshim and Taros. I don't know. I listen. Do I understand everything? I do not. I don't think that most people do. And I sit with the Masifta and sometimes I look things up. I sit there. You know. Some of the terms are familiar. Some of them are not. But for everyone who learns anything for the first time, everyone, at some point or another, it's Deya, it's Dibur below Deya. There's a language, there's a talking, there's a learning without Deya. Even the people who are giving the shiurim that you're listening to, even the Talmid Chachamim and their Rabbein and the Gedol Yisrael, at some point or another, it was Dibur below Deya. It lacked Tam Varech. They didn't understand it. They had to work at it. So maybe they worked at it a little bit less or a little bit more. I don't know. You'll ayin whatever stories of Tzaddikim and Gedolim you appreciate that work for you. But we're all in the same boat. See, the thing is, it's not like the Ribbono Shel Olam is not measuring us against anyone else. That's the great part here. The great part is that there's no race. There's no competition. Aniva o shiana. It's just us. That's the whole Hoshana Rabbah, is to remind us that. Beyond the imagery of come to the sukkah, and it'll be a big divine hug together with the Alter Rebbe, and we're all going to be there. Because all of Klal Yisrael is together in sukkah achas. Hoshana Rabbah, the liturgy and the experience is one of desperate of just like Hoshana, 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 Hoshana. And the constricted consciousness of feeling the dinim and the gvuros of the Yom HaDin coming down, and the clock is winding down, and we're soon going to, you know, leave the sukkah and say Lashana Haba B'Yerushalayim, and then all of this incredible tekufa is over, and I have to do it quickly and panicky. And then what happens? Where do we go? We go straight to Simchas Torah. The same Ana Hashem Hoshiana that we say over and over and over again on Hoshana Rabbah, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, without any daya. A couple hours later, it's Ana Adonai Hoshiana, and everybody gathers around, and it's Aneinu, Aneinu, and it's holding a Sefer Torah, and it's smiling and dancing and throwing candy and doing shtick, and we've gone from a place of constricted pachad, of incompletion, of the gimgum, to a place of singing. It's the same words, the same seven hakafas. There's just a shift in understanding, a shift in mentality. One is a bechina, one is an expression of Hoshana Rabbah, and one is Simchas Torah. One is called Dibur below Deya, a way of life where we just feel like we're just not there, we're just not complete, it's just not happening. And we're crushed. Come on, please, Hashem, help. Come on, please, help, help. Hashiana. And that, Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter explains, is Rabbi Nachman's Kavana that leads us to Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah comes from Hoshana Rabbah. Real joy in Torah, real connection to Torah, a real appreciation for our portion and our place in Torah, believing for a moment that Hashem has nachas from our efforts in Torah, and being able to jump up and down with the Torah, or hold the Torah tight for a second, or stand by the Aron for a moment, or in between hakafos, the Torah, Hashem, Tanima, and to dance a little bit and celebrate a little bit, only comes if we're ready to go through Hoshana Rabbah. If we're ready to plant that frustration. If we're able to just open our lips and talk to Hashem in those moments. Then, those same words of talking turn into words of singing. The same hakafos of bilbul, of pachad, of Hoshana, 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 turn into hakafos of dancing. Sometimes we feel stuck, and sometimes we feel like there's no way out. Sometimes it's like that in our relationships. Sometimes it's like that with our parents. Sometimes it's like that with our children. We don't know how to, like, I don't know what to say. I want to say something. I don't want it to be awkward, but I want to say something. I want to open something up. Or with our friends, or someone that you love. You're in a relationship. You have a significant other with a partner. And there's ritzonos there, and there's something there that you want to open up or say that you feel like we're not doing this as well as we ought to or could be. We're not fully there. We're not fully actualized. In marriage, it happens. It happens in dating. It happens with chavrusas. It happens with rabbeim and talmidim. Sometimes Talmud feels like he wants a little bit more from the Rebbe. The Rebbe doesn't know. It's in every relationship, because that's the way it is with us and Hashem, and that's the way it's refracted and iterated in every relationship in existence. Our relationship with our Siddur, our relationship with our Gemara. Hoshana Rabbah is the day where we have the opportunity to just set aside all of those outside things, and we take the Aravos in a bundle, and we bang them on the floor, we smack them on the floor. It's like we're trying to dislodge all of the boundaries that hold us back from real expression. Like we're trying to just shatter the superficiality of so much of our communication that we feel is not dibur below deya. Sometimes we talk and it's just chatter. It's so surface. But keep trying. Don't give up. If we keep trying to talk with the people that mean the most to us in the world, Hoshana Rabbah gives us a little bit of a hope that we can just be ourselves. And sometimes ourselves are lacking tam and lacking reyach. Sometimes we just don't feel like we're bringing anything to the table. I'm not really esrog dick right now. I'm not really standing tall like lulav. I don't really have that fragrance of the hadassim, that beautiful symmetry of hadassim. Just a shleppy arava. Hoshana Rabbah gives us a little bit of wind in ourselves to say, Anivaho Shiana, I could just put it on the table. I can have bottom line communication, lowest common denominator communication. That's what David HaMelech is bringing out. Kirvas Elokim Yechpazon. That the Rosh Hashanah and Hoshana Rabbah. Kirvas Hashem Yechpazon. I could just say bottom line, Ribono Shalom. You know and I know. I want to be close to you. That's how you designed me. I want to be close to you. Hoshana. Hoshana, 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 Hoshana. And if we have the courage to do that, if we're a little bit brave to lean into the discomfort and the unpleasantness sometimes of like feeling dibur below deya, gimgum, if we could just like work through that awkwardness, so to speak, or that discomfort with our loved ones or with Hashem, then we get the Simchas Torah. In the back of the page is Lukut Yitzvilis from Nasan. Zakeinu b'chol shana v'shana l'kayim kol mitzvahs ha-kadoshos ha-nogos b'yamam ha-kadoshim ha-eileh. Shem Hoshana Rabbah v'simchas Torah. Help us fulfill all of the holy minhagim and experience these days in their fullness. V'nizki l'smach ben b'simcha Rabbah. Help us experience them in their fullness with great joy v'ched v'gedola v'atzuma v'tachlas ha-simcha b'shleimus be'emes in truth. Go to the next down a little bit more. Vinizkil, it's oak. Viliz oak, elacha. Help us be zochet to cry out to you. To talk directly with you. To scream out to you. Vilit palel tfilos oshanos belev shalim umcha deliba karoy let's oak lishuascha. To cry out. Virachem alein of oshienu. Have mercy on us and save us. Vizakenu lekedushas oshana rabba vesimchas Torah. Shem b'chinas dibur b'lodeya v'dibur b'deya. Rav Nosson's davening this Torah. This is not just an idea. It's our greatest desire and yearning to have the courage to go through Hoshana Rabbah k'mo shetzarich, to embrace it, to celebrate it, and then have those same hakafos and those same words with Nagina the next day. V'nizke l'smach b'shmini atzeres v'simchas Torah b'ched v'rabbah v'simcha gedola v'atzuma ad ein sof. What's the real source of our joy? The real source of our celebration? It's not our understanding of Torah. It's not our completion of Torah. It's not the fulfillment of Dibur Bedeya. But the Simcha Gedolah V'Atzuma Arein Sof from Nosson says, Shezachinu Lios Mizera Yisrael, that we're Jews. L'kabel es HaTorah Kedosha Yidei Moshe Neman Beisacha Ashreinu Matov Chelkenu Manoim Goraleinu Mayofa Yirshaseinu. How fortunate we are to be Jews, to be Bnei Torah, to be connected to Torah, to be aware of Torah, to be aware of our struggles and shortcomings in Torah. And Amir Tzashem, to believe that through that, the planting of that, we'll be able to see Nilana Dechaya, we'll be zocha to Hunetz Chaim Hilamacha Zikimba, we'll be zocha to Hoshana Rabbah that's filled with crying out to Hashem and Kirvas Elokim, and to a Simchas Torah that's filled with the same Kirvas Hashem and Kirvas Elokim. That's the fulfillment and the expression of Dibur Badeya and Emir Hashem, Simcha Atzuma of recognizing Shreinu Matov Chalkeinu that we're Yidden.
Amen.
Yeah, see you.